love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam, hands-free, from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Are we ready to go?
We are.
Hello, welcome to the Tottenham Way podcast. I'm Dan. Tom's not here. He's ill, I'm afraid. He's very seriously ill. But don't worry, it's not going to be me doing a monologue. I'm joined again by Ollie Lister.
Hello.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You?
I'm well, thanks. just finding it a bit weird doing the intro. and Jim at Stylish Riot.
Hello.
Jim, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. Better than Tom.
Yeah, we should give a shout out to Tom. The first pod he's missed. He seems to be quite seriously ill by the sounds of it. just to relay a quote he gave us on Saturday. I don't mean to be dramatic, but I can't stand the pain anymore. and that's the kind of thing I would maybe expect from someone who was suffering from some kind of terminal illness or maybe had lost a limb or something, not someone with flu. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say. He's a massive wimp.
Yeah.
He can't go up against Ollie any longer, I don't think. I think Ollie's views are just far superior to his.
You think he's bottled the pod?
Yeah, basically that's what I'm saying.
Okay, I hadn't thought that, but it's definitely possible.
Makes sense.
So we're going to be talking about Leicester, the game we just had, and Leicester, the game we're about to have. We'll also do listener questions as usual, and we're going to do a chat about Christian Eriksen a bit later on as well. I take it you both watched the game?
Most of it, yeah.
Well, you don't sound enthused.
Well, no, I was working yesterday, so I had set aside some time to watch the game, but unfortunately I actually had to do some work during the first half. I saw the second half and was quite enjoyed the game. It was a good game, I thought. Enjoyable, end-to-end. Not of the highest quality, technically, but good game to watch. Good game for the neutrals, as they say.
Yeah, it was a proper kind of entertaining cup tie on the BBC. And for me, there is something still. The magic of the cup is dying, so they say. But there's something quite special about match of the day theme music for a live Tottenham FA Cup game in the middle of the day.
We busted out a few cliches there, aren't we? Magic of the cup.
Yeah, we have
proper cup tie.
That's what this pod's all about. But I mean, I agree with you. I thought it was a really entertaining game, albeit, well, not the result we all wanted.
There were some plus points, which I'm sure will count.
Ollie?
Yeah, I watched it. I thought first half we looked like we were just going to walk it, and you know, really surprised to find us going 1-0 at half time with their literally only shot of the half. But that's how we often do things. Second half, we were a bit rubbish, really. I thought we didn't really get going. But there were some positives, and it wasn't full strength. So, you know, glad to still be in the hat, if nothing else.
I mean, to take you up on that, I remember there was a sense of deja vu about the game because we lost to Leicester in the fourth round last year. About this time of year, it was late January. We went 1-0 up and they scored, as it happened, two late goals to win it.
Some great goalkeeping.
Yeah, it was another Michel Vorm special. So there was kind of a sense of deja vu, and I remember being on Twitter or just being online during that that game last year, and some people genuinely saying, well, I'd rather we went out than we went to a replay, because we had the Fiorentina game coming up.
Some knobheads have been saying that this year.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of the same sort of situation. We weren't doing quite as well in the league. We had the Fiorentina game coming up exactly the same day in the Europa League. There was still a chance of top four. I take it you both strongly disagree with that sentiment, that you'd rather be out than have a replay.
Why would you want to lose a game? What's the point? I mean, it doesn't even make sense, you know, throwing it for the chance of a game that you might not win in any case. It doesn't add up. I can understand it may not be the highest priority for the team, but you're in the game, you've got to play it, try and bloody win it. You know, simpler.
Ollie, it's a no swearing pod now, mate.
It is a no swearing pod. I forgot to say
it's bloody on the... Is that...
I think bloody is alright. If you follow it with ruddy, then it just... If it's bloody, ruddy, annoying, then it's fine.
It's a rugby pod.
Yeah.
Basically, my views on it, look around the stadium, it says the game is about glory. Most of our history is built on FA Cup wins.
Yeah.
Well, a large portion of our history. For some time, we were the team who had won the FA Cup more than any other, with 8 in 91. The Woolwich scum have overtaken us. I don't like that. I'd love to win the FA Cup. I really would. Our squad is big enough to, bar in certain positions, or two players who are probably forced to play, Alderweireld and Kane. Mm. Our squad is big enough to compete in the FA Cup. And to see people saying, I'd rather we lost than got a replay, is quite frankly nonsense.
I completely agree with you. I thought it was a point worth making. So I went to Hotspur Way on Friday for my first press conference, which is now part of my job. And although there was nothing directly said from Pochettino, a lot of the journalists, the kind of print journalists, they have a sort of conversation in the second half of the press conference when the cameras are off and the quotes are embargoed till that night. And they're very good at what they do, and they try and kind of elicit lines from Pochettino that are going to make headlines the next day, and they do it very well. Even with someone like Poch, he doesn't give anything away. And really, what they were pushing at with him for about 10 minutes of this press conference was, you know, would you rather win the FA Cup or qualify for the Champions League? It was if it was fourth place or the FA Cup, what would you choose? And he was deflecting all the questions, and he kept saying both. You know, I can't choose, but. For me, reading between the lines, I don't think he cares about the domestic cup competitions. I really don't. And I think with hindsight, he essentially threw the League Cup. I know people don't want to hear that, but it's the only game Fazio played this season. He's not even come close to playing another game. It's the only other game Vaughan played apart from yesterday. And I think for Pochettino, it is about the Europa League and the Premier League.
I agree with you to some extent. I think the focus is clearly on the Premier League and the Europa League. But it has to be, because we're in a position that we haven't been in for a very long time, wherein the players actually seem to believe that we can win the title. I know Tom doesn't.
Tom's not here.
So I don't care what Tom thinks. And... if you are, you haven't asked me, but if you did ask me if it was top four or the FA Cup...
I was going to ask you.
Well, generally, it would be the FA Cup every single time, because I want to see Hugo lift a trophy. I want to see Harry Kane holding a trophy above his head. But...
Well, interestingly, that was the kind of line of questioning to Pochettino was, isn't football about... holding up a trophy in front of your fans rather than getting a fax or whatever, you get an email from UEFA saying, yes, you have qualified for the Champions League.
The caveat this year is we're in with an outside... It is an outside chance, but I've been an advocate since the beginning that this team can win the league. And I'm not saying we will. It's very unlikely that we will, but we're in with the shot. So while we're in with the shot, we need to take advantage of that, and we need to go for that. Aim high.
Ollie, third place now or fifth place in FA Cup?
Well, I think you've got to look at it from what
Pochettino's perspective
that's
is
a different question.
from the fans as well.
It's more or less the same question, isn't it?
No. That's a different question, isn't it?
Why?
Because, well, it's different to my caveat. If we go for the league, we could win it. You said to Ollie, third. If you
ask me, you're quite right, or
the FA Cup, I'll take the FA Cup every time.
Okay, Ollie.
Sorry, Ollie.
I think, you know, as a fan, I'd like to see us win something, but I don't. That's not what Pochettino is there. He's not employed as a fan. He's employed as a manager. His remit is to ensure success long term for the club, and he probably has to take stock of the fact that he's probably got a better chance of doing that through going for a top four finish. The FA Cup, we could get to the semi-finals if we'd done a few times in recent years and been knocked out once by Pompey, you know, and it was a disgrace. And you do have these upsets, and there's too much chance because it does boil down to a single game. Even in the Europa League, you've got two legs. You know, you've got a chance to make amends if you mess up the first leg. You don't get that in the FA Cup. It's over once you're out. And the league, obviously, you've got the entire season to progress towards. But I think, practically, he's got to think, what are our greater chances of getting? And it probably is a greater chance of getting top four, certainly in the position we are now, than it is being in the third round of the cup going, I'm going to put all my eggs in that basket. Mm. We may not want to hear that as fans, because, obviously, we've got the great tradition of the cup, and we'd love to win it. It's been a long time since we have.
I almost wonder if that was on Pochettino's mind, if last season getting to the League Cup final, I'm sure he'd take a League Cup final again if offered to him, but with hindsight, strip down the day out, the occasion of the fans and how close we came, for Pochettino he must have been frustrated that, you know, Pochettino must have been frustrated that essentially being in that final kind of wrecked our Europa League campaign, didn't it?
Yeah, we had quite an easy run in the
Cup. We had a very easy run, but the fact that we had to play that final and
but look how we tailed off as well after that.
Yeah, but the Fiorentina game was 3 days later.
It was before, wasn't it? The first leg was just before.
When they sandwiched either side, or was it one just before? I don't remember, but either way, I remember it being.
I remember Soldado was before.
I remember Soldado. Yeah, I haven't forgotten him. Let's jump back to the Leicester game itself. One thing that seems to maybe be a recurring theme is Spurs taking the lead and then taking their foot off the pedal. Jim, do you think that's an issue, or do you think that's coincidental? Well,
it has happened, doesn't it? It's happened against Newcastle. It seems to be that we have these setbacks, as we did v Newcastle, but then
we respond.
Mm. And maybe, but to be honest, I don't really take much heed from this game. I know we're reviewing it, but in the grand scheme of things,
it doesn't matter.
Look at the back five, for example. Trippier is not a regular. Wimmer has only played three or four games before that.
Yeah.
And Danny Rose, although he captained the team, seems to have fallen behind Davies again there. But although they're very much on a par.
Yeah.
So you've got two out of our normal back five in there. The rest, and the front four as well, you had Chadley, who's coming back. He takes a long time. I like Chadley a lot, but he takes a long time to get back into the swing of things. Son is not a striker. I don't care what Pochettino or the website says. He's not a striker. And who else did we have? Onoma, I thought, was excellent. But again,
we'll come on to
but our front four is not our front four, is it? It's not our first choice front four.
No.
Although on paper it looks a strong side, they've never played together before. So I don't take much.
Fine, but is that a cause for concern then? Because in the game I mentioned from last season when we lost to Leicester, I don't have the team in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that Paulinho played, Chiliches played, I think Soldado played.
Vaughan played,
obviously. I wouldn't be surprised if Stambouli played. I don't have it in front of me, but that was a second string that we all knew was unfancied by Pochettino and essentially weak. Is our second string any better now, Ollie?
Yeah, I think it is better. I think, well, it's more fitted to the kind of style Pochettino wants to play. And, you know, taking, for instance, Trippier, who's been fairly decent. I didn't think he actually had the best of games yesterday, although a lot of people were saying, oh.
He was good against Watford.
Yeah, he was good against Watford, and he put a lot of balls into the box to no one, and everyone was like, oh, there's no one in there. It's kind of, well, why are you putting the ball in then? You know, that was my initial thought.
What, against Watford or yesterday?
Against Leicester. I saw comments, you know, they're good balls in, but they're only good balls
in. What I would argue with that is Watford, he had Kane. He had Kane, and well, at the end he had Son, but a lot of the time against Watford, I felt like Kane was kind of like a few inches away or not far off, you know, a lucky bounce away from converting a trippy across. He doesn't really have a striker to aim at against Leicester.
But then,
Leicester.
You know, if that's the case, then you've got to come back inside and retain
possession.
But that's
the game, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's, one point I'd make, you asked Ollie to compare against last game against Leicester. This isn't that Leicester team, is it? That Leicester team was bottom of the league. This Leicester team is third, are they now? Second?
Yeah, second, I think.
Yeah, it's a completely different animal.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
It probably shows their progression as well as ours that we're still having those games when we're both a lot higher up the table.
I thought, you know, they were lucky to get back into the game. You know, Alderweireld gets blocked by Chadli on the cross, and it was a good ball in, and you know, sometimes there's just not a lot you can do.
Yeah,
so a runner gets a play.
Sometimes goals happen, don't they?
And we genuinely bossed that first half. We didn't really get going second, but we were by far and away the better team. And I know that's how Leicester play. They soak it up and they try and hit you on the break. But I don't think they really hit us on the break even. It was, you know, one good ball into the box and some poor defending for their second.
That second goal was nonsense, wasn't it?
Yeah, but It wasn't their game plan that undid us. It was ourselves.
I mean, it was probably Toby's worst game for Spurs.
He
was due one. Was it just a case of no Jan next to him? Or
possibly.
Because that was his 26th start of the season.
I quite like Wimmer. Every time I've seen him, he looks like a decent understudy to Jan. And I think the only reason we don't see him on the bench more is for the simple fact that we've got Dier in central midfield, and it frees up either having another fullback on the bench or another attacking player, because if need be, if Jan or Toby has to go off, Dier can drop back and we can bring on Dembele, we can bring on Chadli, someone like that. So I think he's been unlucky. With regards to Alderweireld, I can't remember where I was going with that.
Well, I was wondering if there's a case that he might be a bit jaded, because that was his 26th start of the season just for Tottenham, and I think he's played three or four games for Belgium as well. So he's already approaching 30 appearances in mid-January.
Do you not think if that were the case, though, he would have been rested over Jan?
I think the problem that Spurs have at the moment is Pochettino's, I think he's quite particular about playing a left-sided centre-half with a right-sided centre-half, and Wimmer is left-footed, very left-footed. Jan's very left-footed and tends to play on the left side. So I think it's been a lot easier since Fazio's sort of disappearance to drop rest for Tongan.
But there were options to juggle it, though. Like Jim said, you could have played Dier there.
There are other options, though.
Play Bentaleb in midfield, for
instance. But I would argue that Dier needs a rest just as much as Alderweireld.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And if you're going to not play him defensive midfield, you might as well rest him.
But
so
that, I think that's a squad weakness that, along with the lack of backup for Kane, they're the two only weaknesses I feel in the squad.
Yeah.
And that it is an issue, and hopefully it'll be rectified this month.
But Bentaleb came on. I mean, I need to hold my hands up, because I...
You spread rumours, didn't you?
Well...
Nasty rumours.
I heard a whispering that Bentaleb was having an attitude. Contrary to... people mugging me off on Twitter, it wasn't from in the know messaging boards, it was from elsewhere, that basically Bentaleb wasn't that prepared to fight for his place. And then I saw him on the bench, and it looked bad because that was really a second-string Spurs team. And if you're not getting in a second-string Spurs team, it's like it's kind of alarm bells. But I think Ollie, you made a good point. When Pochettino puts players in like Carroll, he tends to give them a decent run, doesn't he?
Yeah, and we've seen it quite a few times. We've seen it not happen a few times, but I mean, that's essentially how Kane got in the team. It's how Mason got in the team. And we've seen players kind of look like they're finished and come back from the dead, you know, a la Dembele, who's been a revelation this year. And I think a lot of people thought...
we basically draw every game he doesn't play and win every game he does.
Well, I think if we'd have had this conversation at the end of last season, I think people would have said, oh, I don't expect to see Dembele again in the Spurs yet. And, you know, he's now become a pivotal player. So I think, you know, it's easy to kind of say they're finished. And it, you know, it
I don't think it was ever that extreme. It was more, this is a cause to believe that it's more than fitness, perhaps. It's maybe an attitude thing. But then look, he came on. He had half an hour.
I thought he played very well.
Yeah, he played well. He nearly scored. His first touch was a ridiculous long shot, and then he had a very good effort.
But
he did well.
He showed a lot of trust and faith in him, because Dier was still on the pitch, but he brought Bentaleb on, and within a few minutes we went 3-5-2. I don't know if you noticed, and Bentaleb was playing between.
Of course I noticed.
Sorry.
Tactical guru.
Sorry. Sorry I ever questioned you.
Yeah, no,
it won't happen again.
Don't do it again, mate.
But he was playing between, picking up the ball between the two centre-backs, and Trippier and Rose were obviously pushing on. And for someone who's been out for so long and reportedly got these attitude problems, you don't give him that responsibility. And I thought he looked, for the first time this season, I know he looked like Bentaleb of last season. And I don't think, yes, he started the season poorly, two poor games, and then he was injured. He was injured for a long time. And Pochettino's pressing style is bloody hard. I had to watch my language.
Bloody ruddy hard.
And it's we've seen it time and time again that when, case in point with Chadley, when player and Mason, when players lose their place for injury, you often don't see them for quite some time, because it and Son, he lost his place for injury and he hasn't got that first place. Place in the team back, because the players that come in are fit enough to do the job and they tend to do it well. We've got a lot of players who are on a level with each other, so you've got sometimes Mason doesn't even make the bench when he was a pivotal to our team last year, as with Bentaleb. I don't think it is an attitude. I think that it just takes a long time to get back to the sharpness required to play in a Pochettino side.
Especially in central midfield, which is such a crucial area for us, because he's going to play alongside Dier or that kind of holding player, if you like. And because of the way we play, those two positions, you know, together with the two centre-backs, have kind of built the foundations for how good we've been this year, in so much as we've not been conceding goals. So I think, whereas you might be a little less reluctant to put someone out on a wide position,
like
Chadley,
for instance.
Who
was out for, well, maybe a month less,
but he's going to be on the more periphery of the game, isn't he? He's not going to be right in the middle. Whereas,
he's got quite a lot of weight to carry as well, Chad.
But, you know, if you're coming...
I thought you were a big fan of Chad, isn't
he? No, I mean, he's a big build, like, lad, isn't he? He's not a slight waif-like figure like Lamella or Mason.
Okay, we're talking of slight waifs. Segue. Onana had a good game, I thought.
Yeah.
Again, he was really impressing me. He seems to be really skillful, really energetic, really, really committed. He just has a little bit of everything that would make the sort of perfect Pochettino player, and it's becoming increasingly clear why he's so far ahead of Townsend in the pecking order.
Yeah, that's exactly the point I was going to make.
Yeah, we'll go for it.
Well, you said
have
it.
I made that? Yeah. Fine. Well, I mean, to go back to Chadley, I almost... Chadley had a...
I don't know.
He's coming back from injury. He had a mixed game, I thought. I wonder if we'll see Onuma kind of leapfrog him the pecking order as well in the next few weeks.
I'm not sure. I mean, Chadley's a proven Premier League player now. Last season, he was excellent for us. He tends to be a peripheral figure in a similar vein to Clint Dempsey was, but he pops up with a sublime bit of skill or a crucial goal. And I like Chadley a lot. My one criticism of him would be that when he is out of the team, he takes a long time to come back into any semblance of form. And I think now he's working his way back into form. I thought he played okay in
the second
half.
Made some good runs in the first half as well.
I'm a big fan of him.
I mean, he made the goal, the Eriksen goal.
Yeah.
It was Carroll Onuma, Chadley shot, and then Eriksen finished it.
But what we saw from Onuma is really encouraging, and as you said, it's clear to see why he's ahead of Townsend. He uses the ball intelligently, which is one thing that Townsend definitely doesn't do.
Mm.
And he always looks like he's got all the time in the world on the ball. Like, he doesn't seem to give the ball away. I'm really impressed, excited to see how he's going to develop, and I'm just happy that there's another Spurs academy product around the first team, because it's brilliant, isn't it? That's why I love team so much.
The Independent, I think it was the sports editor, Glenn Moore, named Chadley as the footballer to watch in 2016. Which is high praise given the amount of sort of young players coming through all over the world. Sorry, Onuma. Did I say Chadley?
Yeah, you did say Chadley.
Okay, not Chadley. Not Chadley. He was the one to watch in 2015. He does seem to be a real talent.
I think Onuma, you know, he's often come on quite late in games, most of them, in games of importance.
He had about five games where he had 2 or 3 minutes, didn't he?
Yeah, and when he's come on, he's generally kept it quite safe. You know, I think given it's the time of the match, and he's generally just getting pitch time to see out the game. Well, yesterday was the first time we actually saw him be a bit more expressive and saw a new side to his game. He didn't strike me as someone with blistering pace. But he could beat a man. He was quite wiry, wasn't he? He had good ability to turn quickly on the ball.
I think he'll score goals as well. He looks like a goal threat. He seems to sort of pop up in the box. It almost happened from against Monaco. And then there was another similar moment yesterday against Leicester where it just didn't quite drop for him. He wanted to hit it on half volley. I think he'll score goals in the future.
Yeah, maybe we can't expect too much to see him too much this
season.
How
old is he?
He's 18.
He's 18, yeah.
What?
It's horrible, isn't it?
He's 10 years younger than me. I thought I still had a chance of
making
it.
You look a lot older than that.
I've got two young kids. I don't get much sleep.
Before we finish on Leicester, I got a question from Richard Porter at Lubimets. He says, should Spurs play the first team in the replay just to get the job done? For me, it's a no, because there's no guarantee at the King Power that you're going to get the job done with the first team.
We didn't before.
I almost think it's academic, because Pochettino's already said in his post-match comments that the replay is another chance for the fringe players to show what they can do. So, Richard, I would expect more or less the same team that played yesterday to play.
Sorry, Richard.
Sorry, mate.
I think possibly he might play Kane.
Yeah, I think you're right, but it's...
I'm
trying to avoid talking about the transfer window, but we might have to come on to it. But, Kane, for all of Kane's talk about wanting to play every game and not being tired...
He is knackered, but I can see him playing in that game. Although he didn't really do a lot when he came on, did he? If we're being honest.
The rhetoric the next day was that he saved the day.
Yeah,
but
good
I don't think he did much apart from take the penalty.
No.
I thought it was a bit of a lucky penalty, actually.
We should probably have touched on that.
I mean, it was a little bit lower, and the keeper saved that, and it wasn't.
I thought it was a good penalty.
I was going to ask you about the decision.
Good height for the keeper. I didn't think it was a penalty. Yeah, I can see why it was given, but
first viewing, I thought it was.
I'll tell you what, the thing it was obviously a handball, but it was also obvious that Dyer wasn't looking at the ball.
I can see why it was
I don't actually know what the rules are. Is that a penalty? If you clearly push the ball away, but you don't mean to?
It's not, but referees give it.
But, you know, there has the referees...
I mean, it's ridiculous that it's that unclear.
I still don't know what the I don't think it... In the rules of the game or the laws of the game, I don't think it is a penalty. But
I think from the ref's perspective, he's seen Dyer turn and then push the ball away. He doesn't realise, in the split second, how's he meant to decide whether or not that's on purpose or not? You can't.
Let's imagine for a minute he's got a different view and he can see that Dyer's head is literally pointing the other way.
I thought it was a handball. No, a tough one, and you'd be upset. But
I don't care anyway. We got the point.
We didn't look like getting into it at that point.
We didn't
get
the point.
No, we got the replay.
Harry, he did that last year, didn't he? Yeah. But one other mention on that is that Pawson is an absolutely abysmal referee. But that's a story
that's
for
a different. That's for a different pod.
That's for referee talk.
All right, let's have a break. See if we can get the microphone working, which I bought a microphone, everyone, but I couldn't get it working.
That's
staying on the pod.
No, that was staying, because Tom wants everyone to know that he's the technical guy. He's the one that holds this
together.
Not
today.
He's the glue. But actually, this pod's far better than any other that's ever been.
Stop talking. We're having a break. We'll be back in, no time at all, because you're just... We are recording. Whose soccer score do you go to?
I went to Mickey Hazard's soccer score. One player of the week.
Okay.
Nice improved.
How many? Was this recently, mate?
This was about 17 years ago.
Okay, so you were 11.
Yeah, about that.
Good man. Mickey, if you're listening and you remember Jim, give us a shout out.
This is going to sound wrong. He met my mum a few weeks ago.
I'm not saying anything.
At the Norwich game.
Okay.
My mum somehow blagged a ticket to the Norwich game in the Bill Nicholson suite. And Mickey Hazard was there. And she went up to him and said, "My son went to your soccer school about 17 years ago." And he said, "Oh, that was a long time ago." And he signed something for my little boy.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Nice man.
Did your mum recognise Mickey Hazard?
I think he'd be quite impressed with that. No, I think he was doing some corporate stuff.
He's had quite a lot to eat since then, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's okay. welcome back to the second half of the Tottenham Way podcast. Before the break, we were discussing the Leicester game, and after the break, we're going to discuss the Leicester game. Wednesday's league game. We don't really do previews in this pod, so let's just get over and done with. Ollie, we drew Leicester in the league in August 1-1 at the King Power Stadium. Since then, they've done remarkable things. Do you look back on that game now and think that was a good point?
Yes and no. I think we should. I still think on the day we should have won. The Mahrez goal, if I remember rightly, we missed the second header, and it was a bit of a calamity at the back.
Tottenham played him onto his stomach.
So yes and no. I mean, I guess people will look at the league and go, "Oh, you've done well against them," but actually, no, I think we're miles better than them. And I know a lot of people have kind of been predicting that they'll slip off at some point, and they kind of are starting to. I think we should win. I think we should win comfortably.
Comfortably.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, take for
instance. I think they're a good team.
They're a good team at what they do. There's a difference. They are kind of rope-a-dope sort of tactic, isn't it? Hit back. And I think if we're savvy enough with the ball, they'll be chasing it for ages, because they don't keep the ball particularly well. We do. If you take the first half in the cup game, bearing in mind it was our second string, we passed them off the pitch. I barely had a kick. I think it was about less than 40%. Throughout the match anyway, I know that only tells a certain side of things, but we're miles ahead of them in terms of quality. And if we play near our ability, we should. I could see us winning 2-3 nil. And I'm not just saying that because I'm an optimistic Spurs fan.
I don't agree. Leicester have won 6 away games. They've lost only once. They've got something like 22 points from their away games, better than any other team in the Premier League. It's going to be a tough game. We should theoretically beat them because we are a better team than Leicester. But it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's going to be a tough game. And going back to your question to Ollie, I don't think it was a good point, completely contradicting what I've just said, but only in the context of the game. We went 1-0 up with something like 10, 15 minutes to go, and within 60 seconds, 90 seconds, they'd equalise. That showed the naivety of our team. We're a young team.
It feels like we've come a long way since then, doesn't it? Because that was what, I want to say it's the third game of the season?
It was early on.
But
yeah, the third's quite early on, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought you were saying no, it wasn't.
No, it was early on.
I feel like that almost those first 4 or 5 games when we didn't get a win until we beat Sunderland, who were playing after Leicester, that almost felt like a sort of different, not a different season, but things really picked up after we got our first win, didn't they? Yeah, we weren't the unbeaten
run. We were bedding in, weren't we? We had Dyer, Ali was. Had obviously just started to come in, but still, in the context of the game, we should have closed the game out, really. So, but you're right, we are a different team.
But look at the team they played on Sunday. They didn't have Vardy, they didn't have Mahrez, but a lot of their first team were there.
Ranieri made 8 changes, we made 7 changes, so I'd argue they almost.
They did rotate more than we did. I still think. We're much better than them. I can't see why anyone would be fearing them. I know they've upset people, and a lot of people played into their hands by playing stupidly against them, pushing up too high and getting caught time and again with the same sort of tactic. And they had no joy going over the top of us on Sunday. And okay, they're going to have a bit more pace in the team, but so are we. And we rested 4 of our back 5. Who've been starting frequently on Sunday. I just can't see how we can lose. Obviously, it's Tottenham. I can see many ways.
I can't see how we can lose.
I'm going to put my hat on and say we're going to win by 2 clear goals.
Okay. But
I hope you're right.
I can't see how is Vardy going to be back. He's had groin surgery. Less than a week ago.
It was apparently very minor surgery that was literally going to sideline him for a week. Yeah, but I think surgery. I don't know anything about surgery. Actually, so I'm not going to.
Done by doctors.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. I don't know, but apparently he's back.
Well, he's not going to be fully fit, is he?
Well, you could also argue that he'd have had a rest and he'll be raring to go. I don't know. Is it?
We're going to have a lot
let's talk about changes. I mean, there should be 7 or 8 for Spurs, shouldn't there?
Yeah.
Do you think the fact that we've just played Leicester is going to have any impact on the fact that we're playing Leicester again, or are they going to be two separate
games?
It's going
to be two different teams, isn't it? Two very different teams, other than Kasper Schmeichel.
Yeah.
Kouate.
And Eriksen, obviously. He's
but I think Eriksen sort of. He didn't start our last league game, did he?
He did. He started against Everton, I thought. He didn't start. He rested against Watford.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because we had the 2 games in 48 hours.
Yeah.
A win against Leicester on Wednesday, and we'll be 1 point behind them, and you'd argue that we've got momentum, and given the fact that they've been struggling for goals in the league, and given the fact that they've been dropping points in the league, a win would really... I think put us in the mix for the title again, which we're already arguably in the mix, especially considering they've got Sunderland at home.
Yeah, it's a huge game, isn't
it's a big game.
It's a 6-pointer, as they say.
But a defeat, and we're 7 points behind Leicester. Would that rule us out of the title race in your mind?
Depends what Arsenal do.
I don't know who Arsenal got, and I don't care. Okay, well, that's all we've got on Leicester. Brief I mean, I don't really see the point in improving Sunderland when we don't know what's going to happen against Leicester, but brief word on Defoe, he'll probably start, he'll probably come back to the lane, it'll be a good reception for him, won't it, Ollie?
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, well liked with the crowd, you know, nice to see him.
See how he's getting on. I mean, I don't know how you guys felt. I mean, no, I was going to say, well, I'm going to say it anyway, because...
Say it.
Okay, yeah. If you were offered... if you were offered Defoe as backup to Harry Kane now, would you take him?
If it was... What is it? Is Defoe or nobody, is what you're saying, essentially? Or just Defoe?
Just Defoe.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, knowing what you do today, which is that we've been linked to absolutely no one.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not necessarily optimistic that Spurs are going to sign a striker this month. I think, assuming that's definitely going to happen, is folly. But I wouldn't take Defoe now. I mean, I always felt with Defoe, as much as I liked him, as much as I did think he cared about the club, he was never able to play as a lone striker ever, which is why he was benched by sort of manager after manager. And I never really rated him as a finisher either. There was all this kind of... Yeah, every single co-commentator of a Europa League game was like, this man is the best finisher in England. You know, that seemed to be the line every time he came on. And he seemed to be more of a belter of the ball.
He scored in fits and starts as well. He'd often go on like these little purple patches, wouldn't he? And banging a load of goals. And I think it kind of gave a bit of a false impression about his consistency over a season. And he never really, they probably do, you'll correct me now, but seemed to have like an absolute blow away season. He seemed to have good seasons where he'd get a few goals. I don't ever remember him, you know, being
definitely a streaky.
Yeah, I think he would argue that he never really had a season where he was first choice throughout.
That's really his fault.
Yeah, but yeah, he was. I don't think he was a better player than Robbie Keane. He was behind Berbatov a lot of time. He was even behind Mido and people like that for periods.
Would you take Robbie Keane?
Not now.
He's about 37, isn't he? He's still banging them in for LA Galaxy, as far as I'm aware. But
Robbie Keane or no one?
I just don't think Pochettino would play Robbie Keane.
He's a nonsense.
I really didn't like Robbie Keane.
Whoa,
different pod. We'll do the Robbie Keane special. No, I want to talk a little bit about
Stylista is over.
Not about that. No, about Christian Eriksen. Named Danish Player of the Year for the third consecutive season today. Well, in fact, I think it was Saturday, but Spurs tweeted it today. I was writing up that news story, and I looked over sort of Eriksen's form in 2015, because it's an annual award. He's got 8 goals for Spurs. Is that good enough, Ollie?
I don't think he's really been great this season, if I'm honest.
Arguably in 2015 as a whole, with back in the last season, was pretty abject as well.
I mean, he shows glimpses, and actually, I thought the other day he you know, the start.
Oh, hello! Can I interrupt you?
You may.
We've got the FA Cup fourth round draw, Colchester United versus Tottenham or Leicester.
See, there's no point. We won't win it, so you know, rather lose that.
You can't be unhappy with that, can you? Does that now provide? We'll come back to Eriksen, but. Is that now even more of an incentive to get that job done? Because there's now potentially a passage into the fifth round.
There's now a passage into the fifth round. And, you know, there's still quite a lot of games to go. Unlike the League Cup, where I think if you win...
You know what I mean? If we just got Man City away in that draw, let's say. If we just got Man City away, Pochettino might be thinking...
I'm not panning the cup. I just don't think that fixture is going to... You know,
change nothing.
Yeah, I don't think Pochettino's going to see that and go, well, actually, I'll give it a go now. I don't think he's thinking like that because, you know, you could then get City away in the sixth round and have a very difficult time. I think you set out your stall and you stick with it, and that seems to be what he's doing.
All right. Do you have any comment on Colchester away?
What Ali said.
What he said. You can't talk this half.
Yeah.
He's nailed, he told you off.
Sorry, I know you don't like it when people talk to you.
Okay, no.
Ericsson.
Ericsson talks too much. Where were you, mate?
Yeah, I mean, he actually looked quite decent. On Sunday, he played some nice balls, you know, into space and seemed to be bringing wide players in, which seems to have been lacking. I know that everyone just gets hung up on his corner delivery, which we've discussed at other points.
That's not your argument.
It's all right. Yeah. It's a good one.
It's right as well.
But you know, has he done much else in the team? You know, I don't think he is in the team as a goal-scoring midfielder.
Well, that's what I was just about to ask you. Jim and I were talking about this at the bar. Is he a goal-scoring midfielder in the sense of, well, Chadley or Dempsey or even Van der Vaart?
Or even Ali,
yeah. Or is he, I hate to mention him, but is he a kind of assist king in the kind of Ozil mould who you would expect to be creating chance after chance for his teammates?
Yes, I think that's what his role in the team is.
Which one?
The kind of more playmaker. I'm not going to say that guy's name.
Okay.
Refused to. You said no swearing. I think that's what I'm saying. I don't think he's been performing at the top of his game. I don't think it's for a lack of effort. You know, I see these stats bounded around that he's done loads of running and, you know, obviously puts himself about. He just doesn't seem to be as sharp as he could be. I think that's probably the issue.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think he's been getting a fairly raw deal from the fans this year, or Spurs Twitter this year.
The fans.
He's... The fans on Twitter.
The fans.
The only people that matter. I think he had such a good first half to two-thirds of the season last year. He obviously tailed off a bit. He's not scored as many goals. It's clear he hasn't scored as many goals. I think he gets a lot of attention. He drops into his movement. Look at his movement. His movement's brilliant. He takes up very intelligent positions, which allows people like Ali, people like Lamella, people like Kane to then take up their positions. He works between the lines, and he's got quite a few assists this year.
Mm.
Some of those have come from...
Plenty of them have come from corners and set pieces, yeah.
His excellent dead ball delivery,
yeah.
Which you've already touched on. Is he a goal-scoring midfielder? Maybe not. Is he an assister? Yeah, but he's a bit of both. And he's one of... Last year, he was one of the few top-class players in the team. And maybe he's been joined now by the likes of Ali. Lamella's obviously stepped up. Maybe he's not shouldering the burden of carrying the side as he was last year, along with Kane.
Because, what do you mean? Do you mean he's not willing to show the burden?
He doesn't have to, because Lamella's been a revelation. Ali's been a revelation. Kane's carried on at the same level. Obviously,
I don't think you can argue.
I think Lamella and Ali are doing some of the work that he was doing.
Do you think he's at the same level he was at? But I don't think
Lamella and Ali have outshone him. That's what I think.
You're right. Yeah. But by the same token, he's not been as bad. He's been almost universally panned as having a poor season, which I just think is unfair and incorrect.
I wouldn't say poor season. I just don't think he's been at the top of his game. I think, you know, whereas last year he was like an 8 or 9.
But he doesn't have to stamp his authority on games.
No, but I don't think he...
But he should be. That's what I was saying. Yeah. Like, I mean, last year... Morten Olsen, who was a Denmark boss, you might remember seeing his news.
He
called out Ericsson and said, look, he is youngish, he's 22, 23, but he's been playing in the Champions League since he was about 19 for Ajax. He's been playing in Europe for Tottenham, he's been playing in the Premier League, he's a starter every week, he's a sublimely gifted player. He needs to stop hiding for Denmark. He needs to step up. And he's won this award. He's the Danish Player of the Year for the third year running. There's no real competition for that.
Dennis Rommedal's retired.
Yeah, he's out of the picture. But he is by far, he's the sort of Beckham, if you like, of his.
Not country. As good looking though.
Not quite. Or even in the same way that Son is an icon in South Korea. You know, that is Eriksen, and for good reason, because he's a great player. And for me, there's just too many games that he doesn't influence, and that we've seen from Lamella. Before the Everton game, I think that there were about five games in a row where Lamella was arguably man of the match. Ali has been arguably man of the match in every game he's played this season. He's been a phenomenon. It just feels, for me, as though Eriksen is... Yeah, maybe he's just not sharp, or maybe he's just been in third gear when he could be in fourth or fifth gear.
Yeah, I don't think he's been bad. By no means, he wouldn't get picked in the current squad environment that we have. He's just not hit the heights that we know he can. And I'm not talking about goals, because I think sometimes that kind of gives a misleading kind of picture of how well someone's performed. You know, like we were talking about Kane earlier, coming on saving the day, but really, that was the only thing he did was take the penalty. But Eriksen is capable of an awful lot, and I think I would like to see him kind of opening up defences more often with some of his passing. And I know it's difficult because so many teams sit deep with many men behind the ball, but that's kind of what I expect him to be able to unlock. You know, that's why he's in the team, I see it. And you've got the runners like Lamella and Ali for him to find, and I just don't think he's done that enough. I think he can do it. I think he's more than capable, but I'd like to see him do it.
I mean, the great thing about Spurs, as you both touched on, is there is such competition for places now. Like Lamella's undroppable, Ali's undroppable. Arguably, Eriksen is still hard to drop. Although Pochettino did either drop him or rest him for the Watford game. Let's assume for a minute that Carroll's going to sort of continue in the deep role, and you've got to take one of those three out to accommodate Dembele. Who would you take out, Jim? Or would it be Carroll?
I would take out Carroll. I think I like Carroll. I'm sure he's a lovely lad.
Funny voice.
He's got a voice like mine. but I would have Bentaleb, Mason. Ali,
hold on,
Eriksen. I would have all these players in the 11 ahead of Carroll if when fully fit. If you're asking me who should drop out, I would say Carroll for Dembele to come back in. Mm. If Carroll's going to continue, then on current form, Eriksen to drop out.
It's a tough one, because I can see why Poch likes Carroll. There was a pass he did in the Everton game that didn't actually come off, but he got the ball and just switched it almost instantly to the flank. Mm. And it was a bit off, but you're kind of thinking, that's why Poch likes him. He moves the ball quickly.
Yeah.
So when he's in possession, he's actually a really decent player, and you know, he's a good passer. He finds his man more often than not.
He's like a very poor man's Luka Modric.
Yeah, but in the same Everton game, you know, there were several chances that he, you know, got caught in possession or when with the opportunity to clear, messed it up. And I worry about the other side of his game. And I think if it's a choice between him and Dembele, then it's a no-brainer. It's got to be Dembele.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dembele is the first name.
Drop Eriksen to retain Carroll. But the Pochettino, then... He does leave you guessing at times.
Yeah, I mean, if one of the three has to drop out, I mean, at this time, although I've defended him, it would be Eriksen for me.
Okay.
But then, I mean, who would you play on the left? Because I know it seems to work quite well coming off the left. He scored coming off the left against Everton.
I was just going to say, Pochettino seems to have abandoned that. I mean, Ali did really well when he was playing in the two, in the deep lying two, but Pochettino seems to value his goals essentially so much that he's not going to push him back. And that was another option we had.
I think it leaves it, gives Ali less responsibility as well. It allows him to not so much worry about tracking back, because he still does that, but he doesn't have, say, the same job description as Eric Dier. Or when Dembele's there, he retains possession well. He very rarely loses the ball, does he? Ali doesn't have to worry about it. He can concentrate on getting forward more.
I think there's a bit about Ali, and you know, we can wax lyrical about him all day, but there are still some raw elements to his game, and particularly his passing. He can give it away, and you kind of maybe see the sense in playing him further up the pitch, where if he does give it away, they're not straight into your back four. So I can see the sense in pushing him out.
I think long term they want him to be a Gerard Vieira type figure, don't they? But he's 19. Let him learn.
Make mistakes as well.
Yeah.
Just throwing another cliche there.
I love the cliches. All right, there's just a couple of listener questions. So let's do them.
No, it's my question written on there.
You're not a listener, Jim. You're a contributor.
Yeah, we've noticed that.
talking of contributors to questions, we've got one from Tom Hayward.
Who's that?
At Tom Foynes 87. He's not a great follow, if I'm honest. Whinges a lot.
Not really.
No. Don't recommend it. He says, as well as the usual lot from Woolwich, Chelsea and West Ham, we've seemingly made enemies out of Watford and Leicester this season as well. Is this a sign of our growing status, or because we're genuinely nasty bastards? It's made me swear again. It's a good question. It does seem as though in the last few weeks, Watford fans really didn't, understandably, because we got a last-minute winner, but they really didn't like
How
us.
How good is it, though, scoring an offside?
There's nothing better.
The last minute.
And Leicester fans as well, sort of over the last 24 hours, have not been happy.
Maybe because Tom's been winding them up on Twitter.
I do wonder if... So Tom's always like, oh, this is going down on Twitter, or this.
I just think
he follows the wrong people and then winds them up. But did you have a view on this, Ollie?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of case for both. I saw a stat recently, we've got the most yellow cards in the league.
Really?
Yeah, which is in a way is great for a Tottenham team, because we, you know, it's nice that we're...
Have we got red yet?
No.
So that's great. So we're playing it absolutely perfectly.
Spot on, yeah.
I mean, Lamella must be responsible for the vast majority.
Lamella and Ali have had the most.
But, you know...
I think we've got 18, I think, or something like that.
But I think also in the calendar year as well, we'd got the most. So there's obviously...
That's wrong.
You know, we nearly qualified on fair play once or something. Well, we could have, I remember thinking. And
well, that was our savior under plea.
But yeah, if you think how far we've come from this kind of scared to put a foot in to, you know, maybe take it out occasionally, that's kind of where we are. Yeah. We're far, far more aggressive. So there's, we are a bit nasty.
We're not a soft touch anymore, are we?
Exactly. And I think because people are talking us up, you know, we never get talked up, and all of a sudden, and... Now we are, and so we become a scalp. And once you're a scalp, people start not liking you.
But we're quite good as well.
There is that.
I mean, it's similar to the Klopp effect. I mean, the media love Liverpool, don't they? And personally, that's one of the reasons why I can't stand Liverpool. Because the media want them to do well. They're always building them up. As soon as Klopp came in, they won a game and they're title contenders.
Yeah.
It's clearly not the case. But with us, now that, as Ollie says, we're getting this media recognition that we haven't really had since AVB's first season, and then Redknapp before that, we're getting that recognition again, and certain people are talking about the title, myself included, and that annoys other teams, and rightly so. I don't care. Let them all hate us. Good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's no one likes... A winner. No one likes a team who's beating everyone else.
How much did you hate Man United when they were winning?
I despise them. Massively.
I still do.
Enjoying more than them struggling.
Did you see? I know this isn't the Man United way, but Van Gaal came out today with the best quote, saying that he thought maybe that the fans had left early because they wanted to beat the traffic.
That was a lucky escape, wasn't it? Just to finish off, we're recording on Monday, so we all woke up to the sad news that David Bowie's passed away. So, G. Bacon, 85. Sorry, I haven't written down his actual name, but that's his Twitter
handle. I think that's his actual name, actually.
I reckon it's Gary Bacon.
Could be Greg Bacon.
Gavin Bacon.
Well, let's call it Gavin Bacon at G. Bacon, 85. Says,
cheers, Gav.
If this team was a David Bowie song, what would it be and why? And he's put, you can't have heroes.
You're looking at me.
I'm looking at both.
Well, let's dance. Yeah. Why not?
Okay. Sure.
Having a good time, aren't we?
Are you Googling Bowie songs?
No, I'm looking at my playlist because I saw this earlier and I'd have Changes because. We've changed.
We've rotated the squad for less.
No, because look at the changes. Sorry, that we've undergone since Pochettino's come in.
Yeah,
we just mentioned it. We're nasty B words now. Yeah. We're changing for the title, for pity's sake.
We're bloody challenging for the title.
And,
that's fine.
We are a different animal now.
Okay.
Ziggy Stardust and Spiders from Mars, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I listened to Radio 6's Bowie Marathon all day, which is really enjoyable. But I can't name that many of his songs, so I'm just going to go Starman without much reasoning.
Because I like Harry Kane.
All our players are star men. Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's why he sort of
nailed that.
Said we couldn't have heroes.
Yeah, too easy, because I would have picked it. All right.
Can I ask
my question? Okay, yeah, there was one I was going to do from But I'm Not Going to Do It, so let's see your one.
What would you rather win, the FA Cup or the Europa League?
Did we not do that?
I don't know.
Europa League. Definitely.
Yeah, I'd go Europa League as well. I think as much as the FA Cup still means something, I just feel like the incentive of Champions League football would do so much for the project of Pochettino.
Wouldn't you rather win a European title over the domestic
Yeah, I mean,
one
even
well?
Even without the Champions League, I'd rather win the Europa League. I want to win a Europa.
It's nice
I want to win
trophy
a Europe
as well. I really like that trophy.
It's massive, isn't it?
It's gorgeous.
Right.
Lovely, shiny trophy.
We've run over, so we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening to episode 25 of the Tottenham Way podcast. I've been with Jim at Stylish Riots.
Best out on Twitter.
Ollie Lister at Ollie Lister, spelt
OLYLISTER. The only Ollie Lister on Twitter.
Can we send abuse to Tom?
Yeah, send abuse to at Tom Foynes. I've been Dan
Killy P.
You've ruined the whole podcast. Tom, edit that out, brother. Alright, come on you Spurs.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.